Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday edition of The Drive. It is Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. As a matter of fact, Don just got a call, though. He will be in momentarily, but he is here. And Drew at the controls. It is the, you know what, it sort of feels like the end of the summer. I mean, it's not. I mean, goodness, it's July 17th. But this is really the last day on the air in a while where there won't be something I would think fairly newsworthy, because SEC Media Days get started on Monday. Now, the thing is, there will be a week or so in between the end of Media Days and the start of fall practice, but there'll be enough news coming out of Media Days to make it feel like we're getting close to the start of football season. And what else makes you feel like it's getting close to the start of football season than sweltering weather, which is what we have out there. Man, it is a humid day. It's not just the heat today. It's the humidity.
Yeah. It's the dog days, I think.
Well,
and it's not even here yet.
Really, that's usually August.
Yeah. But you're right, Bill. It is.
My dog, let me tell you what. My dog, he knows it's these days. You've heard that the phrase, whatever, it's a dog's life. My goodness, my dog's got it so good.
Oh, yeah.
He's outside on the back porch. He's got his own house with a bed in his house out there. But it's hot enough now that he'll just lie on the concrete of the back porch because that's cooler.
Will he get in the pool?
Oh, he will get in the pool.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. He's half lab.
Oh.
So he can swim, but he's and I think he seems to be fairly bright. I mean, he understands. You just say a phrase to him sometimes, and he'll like seem to know. If I say, you know, it's time to go to bed or whatever, he'll get up and he'll walk to the door, and you know, I mean, things like that. Like he understands,
right?
But the dog has never had enough sense to get his nose up when he's in the water. Mm. I mean, the other part of him, he's like I said. The boys, my sons, thought he was a lab when they mm-hmm. got him from the rescue, you know, mm-hmm. and he's a cute little thing, looked just like a little blonde lab,
right?
But the other part of him is pit bull.
Ooh.
So I mean, he never grew as tall as a lab, and he's got those
big
really
chest.
Strong chest and shoulders, you know.
And
as strong as can be, and can be a little stubborn times.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. I mean, he'll go and get on the first couple of steps of the pool,
cool
and
off.
Just sit there
for
a while. Then he'll get out, and if I get him out now, he has that look of terror on his face if I start to bring him out, and I've got to be careful because his claws are sharp as can be.
I bet.
He's got those. He's got the nails with the veins that are so deep that they can't clip them back.
Oh.
The vet, you know, said, "Yeah, there's really not much we can do unless
sand
we put him under and remove him." But he'll have to wear pads, and it's like, no,
yeah,
he's not
nah,
gonna do
he
that.
Can't have a dog with that.
No.
So, yeah, it's 89, Bill, right now. It says feels like 97.
Oh, I believe it. I was thinking it feels like 105 is what it feels like.
I mean, 97. Come on.
But anyway, so tough life for Dusty because.
Yeah.
This morning I had somebody coming over to help with some work around the yard. And so we need him inside or he'll drive them crazy.
Yeah.
And being as strong as he is, he can do some damage without really meaning to.
Right.
All right. So he acts like he wants to get inside, but then as soon as he hears somebody outside, he wants to get back outside. But I mean, so when that got done, we let him outside. He was outside for like 30 seconds and he's like, whoa, no, he's howling, wanting to get back in the AC. So
that's fun.
So yeah, so if you have to be out in this, hydrate, man, hydrate and try to have a little protection because
wear a hat, sunglasses.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's another hot one. But like I said, it's one of the, if not the last day, where there won't be, you know, next time we're on the air, there's going to be news.
Right.
There will have been two or three coaches have already finished, four coaches and Greg Sankey.
Yeah.
On tap on Monday.
Yes.
So, I mean, there will be some things to be talking about. This mm-hmm. is the last, one of the last days of what they call talking season, where we're just speculating and mm-hmm. looking forward to, you know, to the upcoming season. But I think, you know, I think a lot of folks are genuinely excited about what we're hoping to see come this fall.
Yeah, I agree, Bill. You and I have talked on air and off air. I like the new staff. I really like our head coach. I like the way he sounds, what he's done, recruiting. I like their toughness from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to run the football, which you know I
They're
love.
They're going to try at least.
Yeah, and it's 49 days already to kickoff.
Yep, 7 weeks from tomorrow. Yeah. So actually it's 50 for Auburn
right.
today, but right. 7 weeks from tomorrow is the opening game in Atlanta against Baylor.
And like we talked, I was talking to Brian on Monday. Whenever I was coaching, you know, of course it's all changed now with the schedule and the calendar. But once the 4th of July was over, it was pretty much, I felt like it was over. It's mm-hmm. time to go to work. I know they probably got this weekend, will probably be their last weekend.
Yeah, probably so.
And then they'll, you know, next week I would imagine they'll start, you know, meeting and getting ready to crank it up. I know the players have been here, which is an advantage. And just keep everybody out of trouble for another couple of weeks, and before you know it, it'll be time.
Hey, I thought today, again, I mean, this is a time when folks are really looking forward to the season. We can talk about that, get your thoughts on something like that. But I thought we just sort of go off track a little bit today. But I want you – My assignment for you, Don,
okay.
is I want some
I hope it doesn't involve spelling.
No. Well, I mean, no. This is radio.
Okay.
This is radio. Then I gotta have to read it.
I'd have to call my wife.
Although I did win a spelling bee when I was in
really
when
oh,
I
man
yeah, when I was in the seventh grade. I won the
wow.
junior high spelling bee.
That's awesome.
And I was disappointed. You know why?
Mm-mm.
Because all right, for first prize for the junior high spelling bee. You got a $100 savings bond.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what you got for second prize? $50 cash.
So, yeah, you know
I like second.
Yeah.
So, you know what? You know what? When I was in the eighth grade, guess where I finished?
Second. There you go.
That's exactly right.
That's great.
I'd rather have $50 cash.
That's impressive.
Because I have no idea what happened to that savings bond.
Yeah, it's probably mature by now.
Oh, I'm sure it's. But yeah, thing is, I don't
we,
even.
I used to buy them for Jonathan when he was little. And
oh, everybody did.
I remember getting them for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I think we cashed them in about 10 years ago, and there was it's just a joke almost. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember buying them every Friday.
It came in plastic. They were sort
yeah,
of pink.
Yeah.
Looked like pink
and
checks.
And then you'd take them right to the safety deposit box.
Yeah. Well, I have no idea what happened to that one, but we've got a few of them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in a drawer
right.
or something at the
yeah.
house, which
yeah.
is crazy.
Yeah.
But now, no, my assignment for you, I want you to think back on some camp memories.
Okay.
Some early camp memories. Some times when and I want you to go back to your playing days
okay.
too. You know what it was like.
Hell.
You know, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
heck.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it was. But I mean, just you know, some recollections of what it was
sure.
like that first time out there, or with a new coach, or when you're getting into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, yeah, it wasn't all glory.
No,
wasn't all glory when you're a GA.
No.
And then moving on up. I mean, so
yeah,
I'm sure you've got some things of that first time, and you moved around a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure there have been some interesting times that first time out at a different place where it's not the way,
well,
you know, it had been
exactly.
or you thought it might be.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And for our listeners, I just want some favorite or best or worst summers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it
I was thinking about that too, Bill. What's your best or worst vacation even you've been on?
Yeah.
If you even got to go on a vacation. When
right.
I was growing up, we went to the Smoky Mountains. That was a big deal for like 3 days. And I remember my grandfather would stop and we'd eat on the side of the road. He didn't want to.
Oh, absolutely. We'd pack you.
And if we got a swimming pool with one of the old motels,
oh,
you know.
Oh, man. You're not kidding. You're absolutely big time.
Yeah, Vienna sausage, cheese, and crackers.
Oh, man.
And he would not stop. And I got another funny story I'll tell you about when we went to California.
Spam and potted meat were my dad's.
He just,
That potted meat.
With sardines with mustard and all that.
Oh, yeah. Gracious.
That's funny.
What memories? All right, we're just underway here on the Friday edition of The Drive. You mentioned that that Fridays are one of your tougher days because you've got to work. You've got to pull a serious all-nighter into tomorrow morning.
Yeah, the guy that I work with normally during the week, he comes in at 5 a.m., so I'm home by 5:15 and in bed, you know, after to clean up by 5:30, and I can sleep to hopefully 10. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to go. But
yeah, I was surprised to see you up and driving this morning.
I know. I was up out early, and I went to Clark Brothers again. I love going there on Fridays. I usually get today I got a slab of baby back, so I'm going to cook in the oven again. I'm soft. I'm not going to go outside tomorrow and cook. And then they got everything. And, you know, they sponsor. I heard the
absolutely.
So I got some catfish fillets. I got some green beans. And Donna gets these biscuits. They're delicious. They got everything.
Wow, okay.
And they'll cut anything for you, too. But anyway, I was up early. But anyway, Bill, like you were saying, tonight I don't get off till 8.
Mm.
And hopefully the guy's on time. Sometimes he doesn't get there quite at 8. But once I get my stuff on, it's, you know, just sit there and
wait.
Like we were talking,
yeah.
I can listen to the Open now because it's 6 hours ahead on Sirius Radio, the golf deal. And I don't even know who's winning that thing right now. I watched a little bit of it when I was on the treadmill today, but I couldn't tell you who's winning the Open right now.
Well, as I pull it up, and I've been in and out watching and trying to supervise
mm-hmm.
some stuff that's going on, but yeah, round two today. The headlines are about the record breaking round twos. Lucas Herbert with an 8-under today.
Mm.
To go to he shot an even par 70 round one, but he's leading the field now after shooting a 62 today.
That is great.
Yeah,
that's that links golf too, isn't it? Where they mm-hmm. big bunkers and high grass.
You've got four Americans the next four spots: Cam Young, Ryan Gerard, Jackson Suber, and Sam Burns. So not the biggest names there at the top. Bryson DeChambeau as well. Those guys are 6-under. Burns, DeChambeau are 5-under through round two. So and don't want to spoil it for folks that are going to watch it.
Right. And you know tomorrow that weather or any day can change.
Oh, any time.
Sunday or Saturday.
It's amazing how quickly
that
things
fog
can change.
And last weekend they had to cancel Saturday's round because of fog in the middle of the summer in the afternoon. But I've never been over there, but I guess it's just beautiful. And you know, all those golf courses over there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's tough, man. Those bunkers, I don't know how they get in and out of them. I guess they have to go through the back, has like a incline or something.
Man, that's going on. There's not a whole lot else.
Major League Baseball
is getting
back right today.
There was a game yesterday.
Oh, there was.
One game last night with the Mets and Phillies. Now everybody else is back in it today as the official second half of Major League Baseball gets underway this evening, and we're just a couple of weeks away from the trading deadline is August 3rd, so a little over 2 weeks. I believe it's 2 weeks from this coming Monday.
And pro football should be starting practice.
Oh yeah, you
any
know
minute.
It. They're going to be. I mean the Hall of Fame game will be be just any time coming
you
up.
You got high school practice starting before long. Their first game I think is August 20th, something like that.
Right,
and then you got college. And before you know it, we'll be in the swing of a game every weekend, almost, which I know everybody's ready for football to start. I forgot somebody was on TV talking, this is the last Saturday or the last month or so-and-so where we don't have football starting.
Yeah, that's right. And you've got the World Cup.
Sunday.
You know, third place game tomorrow, the championship on Sunday between Argentina and Spain.
Mm.
So, I mean, and that'll wrap that up. So,
yeah, it's been
so
exciting.
So it's a lot. Lots coming to an end just as Media Days get started on Monday.
Yep.
All right, so, again, we'd like to have some fun today. I'd love to hear your best or worst summers or vacations. I want
travel.
Don to talk a little bit about because you've got so many different
Yeah, I've been
kinds
everywhere.
Of I've been on first days.
Yeah. You're right. I've been at the top of the, you know, the best there is, and I've been probably at the worst there is. So, and it was funny. Dan texted me the other day, said he did talk to Marshall Faulk, Coach.
Yeah,
Faulk.
He told me that. As a matter of fact, I talked to him. Yeah. Talked to him in the last couple of days,
and he said he apologized for running all over the Pacific.
Dan said if he got a chance, he was going to try to swing by today.
Oh,
so
great!
We saved his spot for him over here in the studio. So
good.
Maybe he'll join us. We hope you would. I hope you will as well. You can call us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. One thing I wanted to double check, because I'd heard a story earlier about the World Cup being in jeopardy
because of the
air quality concerns.
Smoke.
There's smoke coming from the wildfires in Canada.
Yeah.
And you've had some postponements, an MLS game. Postponed in Chicago because of poor air quality. But FIFA says, nah, they're playing.
Yeah.
They're going to play.
That's Sunday, right, Bill?
Yes, that is Sunday.
Yeah, my son, you know, lives in Minneapolis or right outside, and they've really struggled with the air quality the last week.
Mm.
Plus, they're like 95, and it doesn't get like that. And with the air quality.
Well, it didn't get like that. It does.
It does now.
These days,
yeah.
Like we were talking
right.
about with
that's right.
With the our son and daughter-in-law and kids and grandkids visiting over in Europe.
Yeah.
But it's something they're not used to.
Exactly.
But the National Weather Service in New York, with the final between Argentina and Spain at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford. It's not going to be. Hey, wait! It can't be MetLife Stadium. It's just got to be East Rutherford Stadium, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way that things have gone here with the World Cup. But they said smoke still lingers today, especially toward the south, but it should be less intense than yesterday in the region. The smoke may thicken again in the overnight into Saturday evening. So that still doesn't sound like everything may be cleared up, but they're going to play.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're watching, that's not fireworks. that may be smoke.
Yeah.
From a Distant Fire. Oh, that's a good song.
Yeah.
Hadn't heard that one in a while.
Wow.
All right, Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. All right, you've had a couple of minutes to think. Again, our topic for the day for our listeners is memorable summers as you know, and here's the sad thing. As far as like schools, we're not very far from the start of fall. I mean, the city schools get started in just a few weeks.
Yeah, this weekend's the free tax school back
that
to school deal.
That's right.
So that
that's
tells
right.
you. It's right around
that tells
the corner.
You it's getting close.
And, you know, Bill, we've talked about this. We never started school until after Labor Day.
That's right.
And we never started high school football practice until August 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't play a game until and now they're playing August 20th, I believe.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, and then you've got we had situations where on the quarter system.
Oh yeah.
Where you know you'd play three games before
Nobody
classes
here.
Started.
Yep.
That's right. Why it was always Boy Scout Day or High School
bands.
Team Day, Band Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
You had to get people in the stands. I remember when we first came to Auburn, we were on the quarter system in 99. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I was not a great high school football player. I thought I was a lot better than I was, so I ended up.
Well, most high schoolers do.
Yeah, I thought all my life I was going to get a scholarship to University of Louisville, you know, or Kentucky, or you know, somewhere like that. So I ended up going to Lees McRae Junior College in Banner Oak, North Carolina. My grandmother, my grandfather, my mom dropped me off, no car.
Well, nobody. Well, back then there weren't many of us
that's
that had 19, cars.
That's a fall of 1971. No, two. Yeah, I graduated in 71, so it was fall of 71, I guess. Anyway, one traffic light, one little theater, one little country store. This is Banner Oak, North Carolina, which is now a great resort with Beach Mountain, Sugar Mountain, ski resorts.
Oh, yeah.
It's grown. It was a dry county. But anyway, so the first night there, you know, they just unload you and they wave and they go because they want to get back. My grandfather wasn't going to stay anywhere over two nights. So I get in there. I know a couple guys went with me, luckily, from the same high school.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. There was only one. I was the only one, I think, there was one other guy from Louisville that stayed the whole time. But anyway, the first night they put us in what we call the old gym basement, which was just what it sounds like, a gym, an old wooden floor gym. We were underneath. There was an old universal weight machine. Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
No, just bunk beds. No linen. And I, you know, we had packed linen, but it was all in my bag, and I wasn't going to get all that out.
Right.
So the first night I used a shower curtain as a blanket. I thought, boy, I've made the big time. And no scholarships. We got $50 for every game we started. That's how they divvied up the
wow, it is pay. It
so
is,
it was it NIL
play
back
pay.
Then.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a clue that we had testing the next day. We had to run a mile, and it was the old cinder tracks. Remember mm-hmm. the cinder?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like charcoal almost, yeah. Or coal.
And that stuff, if you ever fell on those, man, that'd tear you
yeah,
up.
I've got scars all over my elbows. So I had a lot of the old guys out there listening, old pair of black Rydell shoes, which we had to bring our own if you wanted decent cleats. The big spikes, you know, the big old spikes.
You had to run a mile in those?
Yeah, okay. So let's say I did not make my time. It was damp.
What was the time supposed to be, like 7-8 minutes?
About eight and a half. Okay. Lyman had different from the
right,
backs.
Right,
but I didn't make it. So the next morning.
Now what kind of shape were you in coming out of high
terrible.
School, Don?
I thought I was in great shape.
Oh, okay.
For college, I didn't know.
Yeah.
We weren't there in the summer. I stayed home.
Oh, nobody was.
You know, I thought I was working out, but I didn't have a clue. I was just naive. I never had anybody tell me or help me, you know, in my family. My uncle went, but that was back in the 50s. He played at the University of Louisville in between going to the Korean War. Mm. So they were really different. So I died, and the next morning I hear this air horn or whatever the heck it was. It was like I look at my watch. It's like 4:45, and the guys in there just screaming like a drill sergeant. They were hard on us. We had to run down to the water company or water deal, Maine or something, at the bottom of this hill and back up in the dark. And there was we're up in the mountains of North Carolina, so the air is thin.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I ever get off this path, I'm just going to run home. I'm done. But I just stuck it out, and the next year was so much easier. That's what I was telling you. I was in good shape the next year.
Right.
I made my times. But that first year as a dumb freshman, I didn't have a clue. Where now these guys get to be here all summer.
Mm-hmm.
We had we ate with everybody else. I mean, we didn't get any special treatment, but I had to put that shower curtain on me. But I was in terrible shape, but I learned a lesson. And that was my introduction to college
introduction
football.
To college football with and, sleeping with a shower curtain in the basement of a gym.
Yeah, and they called it the snake room. I don't know. I never saw a snake, but they swore there were snakes down there. But Lees McRae Junior College, now they don't have football anymore. I've heard of it. It's a 4-year school now, and it's
okay.
A beautiful
campus.
Well,
I guess that's why I've heard of it.
A beautiful place, and there was an old coach at Trinity High School in Louisville who was coaching there, and he made a recruiting trip through Louisville and came by my high school, and there was 5 of us, I think, that went. And it was.
Well, I guess they didn't. It wasn't a huge investment on their part.
No,
if they're only paying you if you start.
If you start. And I did not start a game my freshman year, but I snapped on punts. That's how I made the team, basically. I could snap on field goals, punts, and extra points. And the next year, I think I got $300 because I snapped in all those games. That was my scholarship the next year. Then I started some games. And then I went from there to East Tennessee State, and that was like going to Alabama with the facility.
Step up.
And still,
oh, yeah.
Still not much. Still the bus rides.
Uh-huh.
That's another story. You know, from Johnson City, Tennessee to Clarksville, Tennessee to Austin Peay, that's, you know, 12, 13-hour bus ride.
Mm.
And then the minute the game was over, get on the bus ride, get you a hot can of Coke and maybe two cheeseburgers and hope he won. If you got a cramp or something, you just had to stand up and scream.
Did you have a per diem back then?
No, I don't think we did. But that junior college life was something. I remember we went up to Kaiser, West Virginia, of all places, to play a junior college, and we stayed in a gym, and they just had bunk beds. That's where we spent the night before, and they had two toilets right out in the middle of the floor. Nothing. It was just like being in the Army, I guess. Then I went back and coached there at Lees McRae Junior College in 1980, and that's kind of how I got into college. From there, I went to Tennessee as a GA. But my wife, I was married in 1980. She went on some great trips. We went up to play Nassau in New York City, and one of the players' moms took them all around during Christmas to see all the lights and Broadway. And she never even got to the game till like the fourth quarter. Then we went to Baltimore and played. So a lot of good trips, but just, you know, on a bus. So, but well,
that's pretty much the way. That's the way a lot of teams travel. They had to. You couldn't. Who could afford to fly?
No, and even at East Tennessee, I think we flew one time. In fact, we flew when we played Pat Dye at East Carolina. He was the head coach when I was
just fly commercial too. I would imagine.
Yeah, it was old Piedmont Airlines. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, Treetop.
Yeah, and man,
that's what everybody called it.
Yeah, it was. I remember. Treetop I was scared to death. Had them old country boys.
Oh man,
never been on a plane. We didn't know what was going
it was
on.
Like twin prop, those things.
You know, that's
like
the same time as the Marshall situation.
Yeah.
So we were scared to death, and then that was Lees McRae Junior guys, and I worked. In the off season, my buddies and I worked at building chalets and cabins up on Beach Mountain in Sugar Mountain. I wish I'd known what I know now, but I didn't have any money.
No kidding. Well,
I could have got a place up
so
there.
So many stories like that.
Yeah.
Like I remember growing up being north of Pensacola and heading down and seeing nothing but the sawgrass and sand dunes and fishing boats in Destin.
Right.
You know, and it was like and then
boom.
The thing is, I remember our family and my family's best friends had opportunities to buy some property down there, and it's like, they passed on that and got some closer to Navarre or something, which wasn't bad,
but I
mean, oh my goodness, that's like just somebody giving you gold.
Yeah, you could have bought a lot up there. Now everybody from Florida goes up there. In fact, I got good friends that we see in Florida. They leave from Captiva Sanibel and drive straight to North Carolina to stay till November, and then they go back to Miami. You know, you could have bought a lot up there for $1,500.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Who had $1,500?
That's right.
Yeah.
No, that was a fortune back then.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful area. You know, it's right near 17 miles from Boone. Mm-hmm. We used to play Appalachian State, JVs, and it's beautiful country.
We're halfway done with hour number one. Love to hear from you. Come on now. I'm sure some folks have some
crazy
memorable summer or vacation stories. Hey, we'll talk some sports if you'd like. I mean, if you want, go ahead and give us some thoughts as we're heading into media days.
Yeah.
What kinds of things? What are your concerns? What are you excited about as we head into media days? We're going to start hearing from coaches, Don, and players talking about they worked harder than they've ever worked.
Oh, yeah.
This year.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they're dedicated. Yeah. I mean, everybody.
Everybody's undefeated now.
That's right. So everybody hopefully is optimistic.
Right.
Heading in.
If you're going into media days and you're up there,
if you hear somebody going, yeah, we've had we've had a bad off season. These guys are out of shape. I just don't know. I just hope the season gets done.
That's right.
Yeah. Then go ahead and fire them. All right. we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
With Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls, and we'd love for you to join us anything, just any direction you want to go here on this Friday, but it is the last day before SEC Media Days. Auburn is up on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Let me. We'll pull up the schedule because we now know, you know, the times as well as the participants from every school. I do know that Auburn only plays one team on day one. That is on the schedule this year. So I thought I had it where I could pull it up. Just pull up the schedule. So, we'll get to it here in just a little bit. But
I know you announced the three young men that are going to go with.
Yeah,
the
and it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I'm glad the young
that Byron Brown, Champ Anthony, representing the defense, who's a guy who's had injury problems, but no doubt is one of the leaders of this team. And then Alex McPherson, the kicker, is the third representative. So
good for him.
Yeah, I think that's a great trio. And again, you know, I've talked about it a couple of days. It's really interesting. These are guys that weren't the biggest names coming out of high school. Byron Brown, I mean, is now a much better known name because of what he did, what he's done the last few years at South Florida.
Right.
But you know, Champ Anthony is a guy that started at junior college, transferred in, and has been at Auburn 3 years, and is a player that, man, if he can stay healthy, he's a really, really versatile defensive back. I mean, we've seen him at safety, some at nickel, again, just one of the leaders of this Auburn team. And then, of course, Alex is just a tremendous story with all the terrible physical problems.
I don't
that
think
he has
people
come
realized
through.
How serious that was.
Man, you lose most of your large intestine.
Yes, at a young age like that.
And he was down. I believe he said he was down to like 108 pounds.
Wow,
108 pounds. Don, the last time I weighed 108 pounds was probably before I hit middle school.
Well, you can imagine the last time I was 108. Might have been my 6 week birthday or whatever. No, I was small, believe it or not, Bill. That's another thing. I only weighed, believe it or not, 180 when I graduated from high school.
Is that right?
And I got killed. And then I remember
you were
center.
Yeah.
I remember, of course, back then, your linemen, nothing like they are today. I couldn't have played probably now at 180.
No,
I could have
still
snapped and stuff because, you know, I've even seen quarterbacks snap in high school. But I remember when I got up to 220, I thought, man, I finally made it. You know, I finally made it, and I'm gonna be able to not get killed. But 220 is not big for an offensive line.
No, not now. That's 220. Yeah. I mean, they're backs.
Joke. Yeah.
Backs are 220.
Yeah. And then I think I maybe got up to 250, 240 by my senior year, but not very big. But I got a great story, Bill, about junior college. When I was coaching, had this young man from Freeze, Virginia. Which
F-R-E-E-Z-E?
I think.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. We said spelling wasn't going to be
involved. Yeah, don't
today.
Get me on that. And he was a great kid, just country as could be. And I was on him one day real, real hard, and well, a couple of days, and it was miserable.
Your early days of coaching.
My first year coaching. Okay. And I thought I knew everything. I thought I was the next, you know, Bear Bryant, Pat Dye.
Well, I mean, all right, let's back up. I want to hear the story of when you decided and how you got into and got that first coaching
okay,
job.
Okay, when I just always loved football. My uncle got me into Little League, and I started playing, and he coached me. And then I was really close with all my high school coaches. My parents divorced when I was two. So I guess, you know, I was just drawn to those guys that were like mentors and stuff, and I always wanted to be a coach for some reason. I wanted to be a high school coach and teach PE and driver's ed and health just like these guys did.
Oh, yeah, that's the way they all did back then.
And so when I got into college, I took, you know, health and PE. I got a minor in biology because I only needed a couple of more classes.
Wow, I'm pretty impressed.
Well, I couldn't tell you anything about a cell or anything like that. But anyway, then I got certified in driver's ed my last summer when I was just playing around, which ended up helping me. But anyway, I always wanted to be a coach. So I got into high school coaching. Then I had a...
Did you start coaching right out of college?
Yep. Okay. I thought I had a job in Louisville, and that fell through, so I had to go back. And one of my old teammates hired me in Jonesboro, Tennessee, which is outside of Johnson City. I did my student teaching at a high school named Daniel Boone, and their rivals was Davy Crockett.
Oh, okay? Yeah, absolutely.
So that's where I went and got my first job at Davy Crockett. And we went a great 0-10 the first year. Thought I knew everything. I was going to be the next, you know, like I said, Bear Bryant, you know, Don Shula, whatever, Vince Lombardi. And I thought I knew all the
George
answers.
Hallis.
Yes, I knew nothing.
Like, yeah.
I was so green and dumb and just didn't know what was going on. So stayed in there for a couple of years. And then my old high school, my old junior college position coach got the head coach at Lees McRae. I just sent him a note, congratulations. I didn't have, you know, he didn't have text or anything like that. About 3 days later, I get a phone call, and he said, you want to get into college coaching? I said, heck yeah, okay. He didn't tell me it was $25 a week and room and board. So I'm teaching and coaching in Knoxville, Tennessee at Hostin High School, making maybe coaching track, girls track, you know, every sport known to man, didn't know anything about any of it. And even boys JV basketball, which I thought I was, you know, Adolph Rupp or Joe B. Hall, but I was terrible at that too. And I told my wife, I was married, we're living in a little apartment in Knoxville, Tennessee. She was making more money than me being a dental hygienist.
Oh, yeah.
She always did until I went to Ole Miss, I think. But anyway, I say, well, I'm going to go. And she goes, wait a minute now, you're going to go live in a dorm? I said, yeah, we can be dorm moms and dads. And she said, no, I'm staying here with insurance and working. You go try it. It was like 120 miles from Knoxville.
Oh, okay. Well, that's doable.
So she stayed there. Her parents, my grandparents, thought I was completely nuts. What are you doing? You're an idiot. I took a leave of absence. Back then, you could take a leave of absence for a year in case it didn't work out. And I had a great principal there. Where, anyway, long story short, that's how I got into coaching at Lees McRae Junior College.
That's great. At least, I mean, you had a fallback.
Right. I'm living in the dorm. I'm a dorm daddy. I got room and board and $25 a week and had it made. Could do my laundry there. We know where we did all the other stuff. Had great – the secretary's family kind of took me and her husband – go up there and eat. They lived, you know, they were from there. They were big old mountain people. And, you know, I worked part-time even then in the off season. But then Johnny Majors came and spoke. You know, we used to have those assemblies once a week because it was a religious school.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they'd either have a minister speak or a motivation speaker. So Johnny Majors came and spoke. And the guy picked him up. He flew into the little airport close there. And he said, we got a guy from Knoxville wants to get into college coaching. And his wife explained my situation.
Uh-huh.
It might have been our head coach. Anyway, Johnny said, have him call Bill Higdon, this guy. You know, he talked, mumbled and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy comes in and says, yeah, Coach Major said, call this guy. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. Said, now my wife was back in Knoxville,
right.
So it worked out. So I went the Good Friday. I drove back to Knoxville. I had this, looked like a seersucker sport coat on. It's hotter than heck. They're practicing. They're getting ready to finish up. It was a morning practice, and they were going to let them off for Easter. So they told me to come down and meet Coach Majors this Friday after practice.
Mm-hmm.
I go to practice. The security guy wouldn't let me in. He didn't believe me. I said, I got an appointment with Johnny Majors. He said, yeah, right, you and all these other 500 people. So now I'm panicking. So they leave the practice field. And I see this guy, and I don't know who Bill Higdon is, but the guy pointed him out, and I grabbed him. I said, hey, I'm Don Dunn, blah, blah. He said, come on. I go in the locker room. Coach Majors, this is a true story. I might have told you.
No.
In the shower.
You hadn't told me this.
And I'm looking, and its steam has hit me. I got this old, looks like an ice cream vendor. It's hotter than heck. I'm nervous as hell. Johnny Majors and they're all soaked up. Hey, young man, you ready to be a volunteer? Blah, blah, blah. I said, yes, sir. He said, go upstairs. I'm going to be back here Monday. That's how I got to be a GA.
That's a great interview, Don.
Right, now, listen. Don is driving around in her 76 Nova and waiting on me.
Mm-hmm.
I come out with all these playbooks. Why they gave me all these playbooks? I was going to be back in 2 days. I had to drive back to Banner Elk, pack up, leave. Anyway, I get in the car, and Donna said, how'd it go? I said, I'm a volunteer. She goes, God, that's great. Well, her dad was a big Tennessee fan. Uh-huh. We're going to call Dad, and she's crying. You're a volunteer. I said, I'm a volunteer. I don't get paid.
Yeah.
I'm a volunteer. I'm a Tennessee volunteer, but I'm not. And that's – But then they I went there making no money, and then within about 2 months they had clerks back then, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's now like an analyst.
Right.
So I got probably $350 a month, which was like making
$1,000. Oh, yeah, man, that's big
plus
time.
Room and board and living at home. And that's the rest is,
Man, that's great.
Great story. And he called me Don John for about 2 years. He never knew my name, Johnny Major. And I can tell you some stories later about being a GA at Tennessee for a tough guy.
Oh, man, that is great
stuff. Yeah, that's a true story. I'm a volunteer.
Outstanding. Hey, we're having a blast here on this Friday. John, we need to get to our final break here of hour number one. Want to give you plenty of time. Thanks for calling in. Hang on. You'll be up when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to...
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio with Drew at the controls, and John's been hanging on for a while on the drive hotline. Hey, John, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Coach Don, I was listening to your story, and I'll get to something a little bit.
I can just see that.
This.
I can picture as he's telling that story.
And absolutely. And, you know, it made me think, I'm 42, but, you know, and I'm this is my hometown, but Auburn was built, whether it's academics or athletics, it was built on the backs of people like you, and I think of Sonny Smith and a million other people who were from small towns across the rural South and kind of made their hay in Auburn. And I think Auburn has a unique culture that you don't see at a place like Georgia, where you have, you know, a lot of just carryover from Atlanta or LSU. Mm-hmm. That has a lot of carryover from New Orleans. It's a really special and unique place where folks like you can really thrive, and I'm so appreciative and thankful of the fact that I'm from here, and I know a lot of Auburn people feel the same way.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, just to make your point, we decided to retire here. We kept our home here, even though I moved several times.
Yeah, Donna did
times.
It again. She stayed.
Yeah, she stayed on the last two. She said, I'm not going. She went to Texas Tech with me, and she almost killed me. And when we drove back, following each other in the car, that's another story, drove straight through from Lubbock, Texas. We both got out of the car, and I think we both were shaking and crying. And she said, that's it. So when I went to Western Kentucky, she stayed, and then when I went to Purdue. But you're right, Auburn's a special place. My son graduated from Auburn and got his master's here. He's doing really well, and you know, it's just a special place and special people. So I'm glad we're able to stay here, and we got a nice, you know, friends and neighbors, and very lucky, very fortunate.
Amen. Looking at this season opener with Baylor, I think I heard today the line is Auburn favored by 7. I think the total, somebody told me, was 60. That may be the highest point total for, you know, combined score between two teams. 60 may be the highest I've seen for an Auburn game in several years, and it had me thinking, gosh, if that's what Auburn fans can look forward to, is seeing some you know, at least Vegas or somebody who thinks they know something, thinks there'll be some more offensive output this year. And I'm thinking about that Baylor team. I think Lagway came over from Florida.
Right.
And when I saw Lagway last year, I thought he was the best piece on kind of a dysfunctional program there at Florida, and kind of wanted your thoughts on what you see as far as, is this a game where the offenses kind of feel the defenses out, or do you see it being a track meet, or kind of what do y'all see in maybe almost a couple months here in Atlanta?
Yeah, that's a good question, John. Now, what's crazy about Baylor last year, with Dave Aranda as head coach, their defense was atrocious.
Yeah.
They were bad defensively last year. Their offense wasn't bad, and yet DJ Lagway is a, you know, big physical guy who is still, you know, has been rough around the edges as far as his passing's concerned. But yeah, I'm a little surprised at that number too. That means they're expecting a 33-27 or something like that kind of ball game. And but here's the thing: if Auburn scores 35 against Baylor, you wonder, is that great? Is that great news? And the Auburn offense is back, or is it, well, the Baylor defense is still going to be bad from last year? But I'll take it. I'll take it right now.
Yeah.
I think the Auburn defense is going to be – I think they're going to be pretty solid, though.
Yeah.
Baylor will give them a test, I would think.
That's a lot of points, though, Bill.
It is. It really is.
For the first game. Yeah, I don't know yet. I agree with you. I think our defense is going to be pretty salty.
I mean,
our offense is definitely going to be better.
Oh, yeah. Great stuff, John. Thanks for the call. We need to step aside. We're halfway done here on the Friday Drive. We'll get some more some more memories from Don as we head in here. But because, look, we're coming up on the start of camp.
Yeah.
And there have been some crazy things at the start of camps through the years. But, hey, we'd love to hear from you in hour number two, which is coming up here on the Friday Drive.
7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Another typical July, mid-July day. It is hot. It is humid. There was a chance of rain. I don't think that's going to happen today. So I will have to, we'll have to do some watering coming up tomorrow. Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, had a blast in hour number one. Don, remembering some of those memories of early camp, pre-camp days, and we're not done with that.
No.
And we asked you for some memorable summers or vacation stories, but anything you want to talk about. Look, it's the last day on the air before SEC Media Days gets underway. Four teams coming up on Monday with Kentucky, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. And then, of course, Greg Sankey will sort of give his state of the SEC address. And our buddy Jason Caldwell said he's already got a question he's ready to ask, and he wants to know, you know, why isn't there more transparency with officiating? And we'll see how the commissioner responds to that. So we're wide open. Anything on your mind, sports-wise or otherwise, here on this Friday edition of The Drive. And let's get to The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, that number 334-321-1390. And Terry gets us started here in hour number two. Hey, Terry, how you doing today?
Bill, how you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Coach Dunn, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I really enjoy these old stories, Coach. And I really enjoy that a lot.
Well, I mean, some of them, the picture, I mean, I can just, you're doing a great job of painting the picture. And, and I
absolutely
can relate. I remember how some things were back in those days, you know, us being the old guys here on the show.
For
but
sure.
I mean, yeah, things are so different now than they used to be.
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to ask you to tell about it. I know you got several recruiting stories, but there's got to be one or two or three or four that just stick out.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking about some of them. I'll try to get to some of them, Terry, the next hour, if not next week or whenever. I'll go home and Donna can help me with some of those stories because she's heard them all, my wife.
Probably some you can't tell on air.
Yeah, a few probably, but not most of them, you know, having to do with travel and, you know, a couple times waiting out other coaches. You know, back in the old days, you could be there at 7 a.m. the signing day to sign them with the scholarship in hand.
Well, but, and there would be some that wouldn't want to leave,
right?
Because they knew you were out there waiting to get in,
right? Or they would kidnap them.
You've
heard stories about that, flying them around in planes and all that. I've never got involved with that, but I have waited outside for that last home visit because there wasn't really a dead period back then before signing date. And yeah, you'd be in there just trying to get that last visit or get that first signature.
Don, here we go. Here's one I think that a lot of people – now, you don't have to name the name, but there had to be a couple of times where you went in and you were probably offered something that that maybe wasn't really to your palate, wasn't something – I mean, there had to be some times where there were meals where – man, you've got to enjoy this, or it's got to appear that you enjoy what you're getting.
The worst thing about that, Bill, is say you set up three or four home
visits.
By the
third or fourth one, even if it was good,
you had to eat. And you had to eat, and you had to make mom and grandma feel great.
Oh, yeah.
And it was usually very good because I recruited the South, Mississippi,
right,
Alabama. I had the best meals. We always joke.
That's where Don was talking about. He was 180 coming out of high school.
Yeah, and then I got up to about 700. But yeah, chicken on a stick at the gas stations. That was some funny stuff, Terry. The food you would eat on the road, because I drove everywhere. and chicken livers at the gas stations in Mississippi and in South Alabama, chicken on a stick. My car looked like a junkyard when I'd get home on the weekends. But yeah,
now, did you ever pass coaches from other teams? I know you probably did. Going in at somebody's house in the park or in the driveway or something like that?
Oh, yeah, they'd be in the house, and I'd be waiting or driving around the driveway. You always wanted to be the last one in. And then there was a young man in Mississippi that it was before the dead period started, 12 midnight. That was like 3 days before signing.
Yeah, it would be Sunday night, midnight, and signing day would be
Wednesday. And stayed with his dad and sat with his dad until 1 minute till midnight, and then I left, so I knew
nobody else had time to get in.
Ole Miss was trying to get in with him. And
what did you do? How do you stall in a situation like that?
I got along so great with the dad, and we just sat there and talked ball. He wanted to talk football, and they were separated, so the mom was probably talking to the other coach. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was – but I lost some too, believe it or not.
When they were separated, so you had the dad and the mom.
Dad was going to be the one that pulled the trigger. That's another thing you had to learn in recruiting.
Oh, yeah, who's you better know.
We call it who's
making the
– yeah, who's the star? Is it the barber? Is it the minister? Is it grandma? It's usually a grandma or a grandfather if he was involved. The mom was – you had to get her, but a lot of these kids were, from that I recruited were from broken homes and not the richest or wealthiest people. So you had to find out who their high school coach, who that kid was going to listen to. You had to recruit them harder than you did the kid most of the time.
I always heard the ministers were involved a lot.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yes, especially with Southern kids, for sure.
Right. Hey, guys, you have a great weekend. Thanks, Coach.
Good to hear from you, Terry. That's some great points and questions there.
And, that's all changed, too, now, Bill. I mean, we had to build relationships. Your program sold it. It was a lot easier for me to recruit at Auburn than some of the other places I coached, believe me. And, because of Auburn, the facilities, blah, blah, blah. But you still had to win over those people.
Now,
got to do it, but it's a lot of money.
Yeah, you still do, but now they also want to know what's the number.
That's the first question now, usually. Mm-hmm. I would imagine.
Oh, I'm sure it's got to be there at the top.
I heard the story about Terry Saban, Coach Saban's wife, saying that, they used to have the breakfast at their house with the families. Mm-hmm. And the first question she started getting the last couple of years is, how much can my boy make? And that kind of turned them off because they're old school.
Yep.
And they said, that's enough of this. But
that's why a lot of
the older guys,
that older guard of coaches decided,
move on.
And in all sports, saw it.
Yeah.
And it was like there were some people that were like, gee, I thought this guy still had a few years left
in him. Right.
And it's like, well, yeah, but it's not the same.
No, it's really changed. And but you had to find out who that kid was going to listen to. And, high school coaches were important, but it was usually somebody like a grandfather or a minister, maybe a brother, an uncle.
Right. A lot of times, there would be that male figure.
And that grandmother, most of the kids I recruited from Mississippi
A lot of times grandmother would be the reason that she would point out who you were going to follow, the leader
right through you too. If she thought you were full of baloney and just a shyster or some overnight salesman or something, they knew pretty well. And I was lucky; I always got along with them.
All right, so I love getting stories behind the stories here. Mm-hmm. Right, so you were talking a little while ago about.
Let me tell you this story about the kid in the dorm.
Okay,
we also had to live in the dorms when I first started coaching during two-a-days.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's right.
That was hell on us because we're in meetings till 11 or 12 o'clock. The head coach gets in his air-conditioned car and goes to his house. We got to stay in the dorms. Luckily, the air condition didn't break. You're in a bed you haven't slept in. You're tired. You're worn out. And usually you and another coach are in one room, and he's snoring so loud. But that made it all tough. I think that made it tougher. And those kids knew we were in the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was great. I didn't like it at times, but I thought it was great.
No, I mean, you know, the thing is, that does start building. It can and hopefully will
because they
build a bond.
Exactly, because these guys weren't here all summer.
Yeah.
So that first night in the dorm, you might see your guy you hadn't talked to other than on the phone for a month or 2 months. So that was all bonding. And you go take the shower with them and the same, you know, everything. So, but anyway, I was at Lees McRae and I was a dorm daddy. I had a little apartment in the dorm. So I was there every day, every night. So I got on this kid from Freeze, Virginia, and the old rotary phone, pay phone was right outside my door. I could hear every conversation from everybody in that dorm. So it's about 10 o'clock at night. Everybody's kind of settled down. I hear, Daddy, he's an old country boy. Daddy, this is so-and-so. Coach Dunn called me a lot of things today. Tomorrow he can call me long distance. I'm coming home. I jumped up and ran out there. I said, no, you got to go. The next day, we had these little cubicles in the office. A huge shadow, covers my door. It's this guy's dad from Freeze, Virginia. He's a mountain of a country man. I thought, I'm going to get killed. This guy's going to kill me because I mistreated his son. He said, Coach, I want you to know this young man's staying here, and you can do anything you want to him. The kid made All-American and went to, like, Emory and Henry and made All-American there.
Wow.
His dad wouldn't let him quit, and that's something you don't see nowadays.
No.
But I thought the guy was going to kill me. But he can call me a lot of things today, but tomorrow he can call me long distance. That's a true story.
But Dad wasn't having that.
No.
Man.
No.
All right. We have a special guest entering the studio. Speaking of folks we hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah.
The one and only Dan Peck joining us. I tell you what, we'll get to break and we'll try to get things put back together here as we head into the final 45 minutes here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Man, it's like the old days or something here in the studio. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, but to our left is Dan Peck. Who is somehow, I guess, reflexes and your car wound up here in the parking lot and you didn't have anywhere else to go?
You know, I just got finished doing the 5 o'clock news report on WVAS, the Voice of Alabama State, and I quickly left the studio there.
Boy,
Yeah, yeah, I'd say, less than 15 minutes. Teleported in.
I was able to secure use of the WVAS chopper. Right, and I was able to get us.
Yeah, you and the vice president
get us here pretty quickly. But no, it's
how you
great.
Doing, man?
I'm doing all right. It's great to see you guys. You know, the show sounds great. Continuing to listen, you know, and really excited about what feels like it could be a really big year for Auburn football, men's basketball, baseball. Like, there's been a really exciting, you know, slate of news over this last few months.
It has. I mean, we haven't been struggling that much to find things to be talking about.
No, and I think, you know, it feels like the conditions are that. I feel like a weatherman talking during hurricane season, where it's like the conditions for a big athletic year for Auburn feel like they're right there. Now, I don't know if that means SEC championships necessarily, or if it's really competitive teams that feel like they can throw punches against practically everyone on the schedule. And that's, you know, that's what you want. I think that's the story of some of the best Auburn teams in football of the last 25 years, is that was the position they were in. Coach, you coached a couple of them.
Yeah.
Right, where it's like they weren't necessarily on the list of, they weren't on everyone's list of the conference's top contenders at the beginning of the season.
Right.
But they were, you know, they had enough to get there. And you know, we'll see what kind of season Auburn actually has, but it does feel like, you know, I wouldn't be all that shocked if any of these teams that you guys talk about made a real run.
Yeah, I mean, and there are obvious reasons for optimism with baseball when you bring back as many players as you have, and then You know, you went out and addressed a concern. It's like from a lot of people, it's like, you know, Auburn's so close offensively, and at times you'd see it. And you go out and you hire the hitting coach and the transfer portal king from the top transfer portal school and the top hitting school in the nation in Nick Amorati.
Let me ask you, Bill, like the last time a coaching hire, especially when you think about like an assistant,
mm-hmm.
in practically any sport at Auburn, was yeah. as universally praised as the hire of Coach Ammo.
You know what I think of?
Gus Malzahn?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I do. I think yeah. of Gus Malzahn being named as the offensive coordinator uh-huh. when Gene Chizik was the head.
Sure, and there were times when maybe Will Muschamp came back, right? That people were really excited about what he could do.
But it's an area where people are going, we need offense.
It feels like an off, yes, you're absolutely right. And that's, you know, the Malzahn hire, I'm not mm-hmm. just saying this because he might be listening. The Malzahn hire worked out, right? Like that's a guy who has a really special place in Auburn history because of what his team's accomplished.
Oh yeah, no question about it. So you're exactly right. That's when you were talking about it, I'm thinking that's the last time an assistant hire, you go, wow, that's the guy everybody wanted and weren't sure, because there were no connections with Gus to Auburn, and we didn't, you know, at least I didn't realize the connections that Nick had with Butch and John Cohen.
And I guess it's because I'm sitting in this chair and wearing the headphones again, and you guys are, I mean, we jumped right back into it, but to answer your question, I'm doing great. It's great to see you guys again. And it is like, it's been, you know what? It's been a pretty busy, not just because SWAC Media Day was earlier this week and I went up to Birmingham to check that out, but also.
You were telling us you'd never been to Legion Field.
I don't think I'd ever, because the game had been moved.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
In the years after, I've been to a lot of places around, and there was a year I think I was going to go to the high school championships and just decided not to. But the way things worked out, I had never been.
Wasn't the Birmingham Bowl at Legion Field? It was.
Yeah, but I don't think I went that year. I think it might have been one of my, you know, while I was gone. But yeah, they had a press conference Tuesday for Bama State against Southern. They're going to open the season at Legion Field on the 29th of August in the Birmingham Football Classic. Mayor Woodfin was there, and both head coaches, both athletic directors, really cool media event. And then and a lot of people attended that because the next day was SWAC Media Day at the Birmingham Sheraton. That was a lot of fun, and you guys were asking me off air.
That's a flashback. That's where the old SEC media days
100
were.
Years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And Bama State picked to win their division, looking for their first SWAC title in a while. I think it's early 2010s, the last time they won the league. Under the current format, where you know the Celebration Bowl format, Bama State has never won that before. So it's like there's a lot, you know, sort of there's a lot of buzz. Yeah. Going into the season for the Hornets this year and yeah, I think it was SWAC Media Day, a lot of fun, a couple of really impressive coaches. You guys were asking me, Marshall Faulk, Pro Football Hall of Famer, is the head coach at Southern
Don,
now.
Don, yeah, coach. You were close. I mean, you're right. He ran for 386 against you guys.
I knew it was a lot. Yeah, that's when our head coach was out of his mind. He got run over in pregame. But it's probably a blessing because he didn't fire us on defense.
I did happen to bring that up. To,
I know
to
you
Marshall
did. I got
Faulk,
your text.
And
thank
he was,
you.
And he sends his regards. Glad things worked out in the coaching career, despite you know, 387.
In spite of that.
Yeah, despite of me giving up, it's sort of as bad as Ed was Tally or from Arkansas.
Fred Tally.
He just ran by my window again.
Now he's not a coach in the SWAC.
I know. Thank God.
Marshall Faulk is in his first year at Southern.
Those are two guys I have nightmares about.
And we were talking. Mickey Joseph is a name that a lot of folks you know might know in the SEC. LSU for a while. He's had a very distinguished career, including he was quarterback in Nebraska as a player, and a lot of folks. And he was the interim head coach after Frost got fired. He took over for the rest of that season. They've had a couple of coaching changes at Nebraska and all kinds of.
Yeah, you talk about
together.
Programming.
But Mickey Joseph's he's doing a really good job too. So
with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final half hour here on this Friday afternoon. It's Bill, Dan, Don, Drew at the controls here on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget, starting Monday, 7 hours of coverage of the SEC Media Days and more. But, I mean, going to be live from Media Days with Doug and the Max Roundtable from 11 to 2. Christian and Tripp going to be down in Tampa. And bringing you on the line live from Tampa. And then I'll be here talking with the folks that are usually here in the studio, Brian Matthews, Jason Caldwell, Adam Cole. Ferg's going to be back in town by Thursday when things are wrapping up. But we'll try to, you know, have some folks from down there as well on. So, yes, that is SEC Media Days getting started Monday. And brought to you here on ESPN 106.7 by the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn. Let's head back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. And Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer, it's been a bit.
Hey, howdy. Here's my thing. I have a belief that if you want to be one of the best two or three teams in your conference, you have to have a line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball that's at least somewhat on par with the best two or three teams in your conference, or you will not be one of the best two or three teams in the conference. So with that in mind, we look at what we had last year on defense and offense, and it was kind of like, I don't know, so. So going into this fall then, if you would rate the contrast between then and going into the fall on the terms of three grades, about the same, a little better, or significantly better?
Well, let's start defensively, because first, I think Auburn was not bad at all defensively up front. But the problem is you lost some guys. You know, you had Keldrick Falk, Kieron Crawford, are among the guys that aren't back.
Corners both gone too.
So when you're thinking about your outside guys.
Yeah, your ability to defend the pass. Like Auburn was among the better teams in the SEC. Scoring defense, the run defense was fantastic. Like, I mean, there are reasons. I mean, Xavier's an All-American. Like there are reasons. Like the defense, especially when you look at like the conference losses, the defense played close to winning football.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, Auburn was 1-7 in games that were decided by a touchdown or less, and it wasn't the defense. It wasn't the defense's fault a year ago.
Well, going into this fall, then
up front defensively, I think that Auburn is going to be pretty darn good defensively if they can generate enough pass rush. They've added a couple of guys. The two of the freshmen from last year in Jordan Crawford and Malik Autry, I think are guys that are gonna make another big step forward. Those are big physical athletic guys. They brought in some players that should be able to generate pass rush. I think Auburn will be on par with a lot of teams up front on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, Auburn has been subpar the last few years on the offensive side of the ball. We'll just have to see again. I mean, there's still some questions. The young man that Auburn brought in, expected to be the starting left tackle, Stanton Ramil, is supposedly healthy. He's been going through workouts this summer, but we haven't seen him yet.
But, I mean, I think it all starts, Coach. I mean, it's when you're talking about the offense and what needs to change dramatically, like I think quarterback is – probably where you start the conversation. And Byron Brown played extremely well at the level he was at last year. How much of that will translate to the SEC and his new surroundings? If it translates, you know, the thought of combining Auburn's defense from last year with what USF was able to do as a scoring offense or close to it, I think you're in for a considerably better season than the one you saw in 2025.
So you'd say we'd be
there's
a lot
better. Of questions there.
You'd say we'd be a little better, maybe, on the offensive line.
You would sure hope so. I mean, but there haven't been any guarantees. I mean, that's where I mean, I think Auburn fans, rightfully so, Yellowhammer, are going to be a little Missouri. Show me. I mean, it appears that things are better, but it's appeared for the past couple of years that Auburn was going to be better offensively, and there were reasons to think that Auburn would be. And there are, once again, reasons this year. Now, it's a different staff, so I'm not gonna hold it against this staff that just because things didn't work the last couple of years, that means it's going to be the case again this year. But again, because of the struggles that Auburn's had on the offensive side of the ball the last few years, I think it's understandable that you'd be a little hesitant to just jump in with both feet and go, yeah, absolutely, Auburn's a lot better offensively this year than they have been the last couple of years.
Well, maybe we'll be surprised.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, I did see today the Pro Football Focus. You know, there have been some things where people have felt like, you know, Auburn's not getting enough respect. And I think the fact that Auburn struggled the last few years, one of the reasons that. But Pro Football Focus today listed the highest graded returning quarterbacks in the SEC, and Byron Brown is there ahead of Trinidad Chambliss and Arch Manning at the top of the SEC.
I'd say this, Yellowhammer.
Really?
Like the last three times Auburn played for the SEC championship game, right? Like they were in a position similar to the one they were in this year, where the defense had been pretty good the year before, and they needed to make some significant changes on offense. And in fact, I mean, bringing a new quarterback,
right?
You think about,
absolutely.
I mean, Newton,
bringing a new quarterback who's pretty athletic.
Yeah, Newton, Marshall, and Stidham were all brand new to the team when they led Auburn to the SEC championship game. I think the hope is that, like, and I'm not saying that's how it's going to play out, because Auburn's also had years where they tried to make those changes on offense and it fizzled out. But if they, I mean, we've seen in the past where Auburn's in a position like this and it ends with them making, you know, pretty, you know, making some noise in the postseason.
Well, when Harsin was let go, the talk was it's going to take a few years to really rebuild a good offensive line, and we're kind of in that time frame still.
Yeah, but you've still got a lot of new players. I mean, of course, the other thing is you don't have as much time as you used to rebuild now that you're in the days of the transfer portal with players able to move as freely as they are. Yellowhammer and Don, you can talk about this just watching now, not being in there and you know, watching your players be able to leave. You know, at the drop of the hat, if they have a bad practice, they get yelled at, like you were talking about a while ago.
Right.
They can leave, and it's much easier for them to do so.
Yeah.
But I think now the expectations are you can get this turned around quicker. Look at what Indiana has done under Kurt Cignetti, you know, in 2 years.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do whatever he did.
I guarantee you they're going to try their best.
Yeah. That's what everybody. I think that's what everybody's shooting for when they look for you know, the kind of change that Auburn made and the thought of bringing in a lot of continuity with the coach's previous school. Yeah, we'll see how it works, because it's not something you usually. I mean, it's a new phenomenon. I think the transfer rules and stuff make it to where you can do stuff like that.
Yeah, but. and I'm again impressed with our head coach. He's a football coach, and I think he's going to be hard-nosed. He's going to be disciplined. We're going to run the ball. We're going to stop the run. I think we're going to be better just because of him.
Good stuff, Yellowhammer.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybarn. Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, gentlemen. No, I just wanted to say, too, that I think Yellowhammer, you know, he always hits on the offensive line, and he's obviously got a valid concern. I think the biggest thing that was surprising to me, not so much with Harsin, although I kind of expected him to do it too, but with Freeze, is look, we knew since Gus met him, you know, you guys know as well as I do that you can't truly build an offensive line through the transfer portal. Your offensive line is built through development of the players, and I fully expected Freeze, when he came on board, and even Potato Man at some point, to start to really get the line.
I will say, and you're breaking up a little bit there, Brian. We'll keep you hanging for a second. But yeah, I thought that at least the effort was being made over the last couple of years to go out and bring in some young offensive linemen. And you know, when you talk about a little building, developing players, one thing you look at with this move here with Alex Golish coming in and Coach Hoodie as his offensive line coach. He's got two guys who have been developed by them over the past few years at South Florida So that, I think, should help a little more than just bringing in transfers that you hope can fit in and build some chemistry.
Can I ask all three of you, is it possible there have been years in the past where the quarterback play and or the offensive philosophy made the offensive line look worse than they really are? And could 2025 be an example of that as well? I mean, and you know what? Because it worked out so well in 04, I think some people might say, like, the offensive line took a lot of heat in 03,
yes,
coach. And it's like, as a matter of fact, it wasn't so much the offensive, because a lot of those guys were on that 04 offensive line. A lot of the 2012 offensive linemen
were on that
2013.
Yeah, we're on that 2013 team. Even the 08 team, mm-hmm, right? You're talking Zimba and Pugh and guys that started in 2010 as well. Now, they were young, but right. I think it's possible for an offensive line to make an offense look worse than they are. I think the inverse is also true, where things about an offense
offense can make that position look worse.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
No, and you're right, Dan. That's 100% valid point as well. But I will, I hate to be a parrot, but again, I still question development over those years in the past.
Agreed.
And I'm hoping development is going to be, you know, something that we've finally gotten over.
Well, and back to what Don was talking about with the head coach, Alex Golish has had to try to develop players because he's been at South Florida the last few years, not necessarily having those players
the cream of the crop
that may have come in as five stars. And you look now, Cole Best is a very highly regarded center,
right,
who has really worked his way into that role. Cole Skinner's another guy who may be a starter there at one of the guard spots. I loved what I saw out of Derek Plaz this past spring, the Miami transfer.
Joe Simmons, a sophomore, feels like a pretty secure starter at one of the two tackle spots. We'll see.
So I think they've got some pieces that should fit together maybe a little better than we've seen, but there's no doubt that this offense, that a few of these guys already understand this offense and should be able to fit in it well. And yeah, it sure doesn't hurt when you've got a Byron Brown at quarterback.
Well, I know you guys are up against the break. Thanks for taking the call. Have a great weekend, Dan. Good to hear you back. The trio is back. Y'all have a good one.
Well, at least on some Fridays, hopefully we can do this. Yeah, absolutely.
Always cool talking to Brian.
Yep, good hearing from you, Brian. It's 5:45. Yeah, we'll go ahead and get to that final break. We'll go ahead and do that. Give you some time if you'd like to join us here in the final segment of the Friday Drive.
Don't buy the lie. This is Lee County District.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive final segment here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Dan Peck, and Drew here in the studio.
Yeah, and I guess it'll take me a while to plug all my different credits. I'm officially the executive producer. The Twitter account for the drive likes to mention this. I'm the executive producer of the Auburn Observer podcast.
In addition
to being the co-host, I gave myself that title when I had to give a.
Well, I mean, you helped him come up with a name. Goodness.
Yeah, and Justin's the chairman of the board officially of the Auburn Observer, but the
chairman of the board, the COO, or is he?
I think chairman of the board works. Yeah. Right? I mean, like Sinatra.
Frank. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just like Sinatra. So listen to the Auburn Observer podcast. Justin works really hard. He's going out to Tampa next week, and we'll have a lot of content from there. I'm staying home. First SEC Media Days I'm missing in a while. But, like I said, I was at SWAC Media Day this week, and I'm gonna cover Alabama and Auburn stuff remotely for the newscast on WVAS in the afternoons and WVASFM.org, the website. We're covering a lot of Bama State athletics as well, because I mean, in addition to working in some Auburn and Alabama and Troy stuff, with Bama State picked to win the division, Andrew Boddy, who, how about this, Bill, was on the Whataburger All-State team with Chris Murray back in the day, 2021.
Wow.
He was the quarterback. And Coach, I don't know how many quarterbacks you have to beat out to win the Whataburger, like, Texas quarterback of the
Texas
year.
Texas quarterback of the year? That's a pretty big deal.
So he was SWAC offensive player of the year last year. Shoulder injury late in the season. I think it probably played a role in him staying at Alabama State
probably,
for another year.
Because if not for that, I think a lot of people would have expected, he's ready to move on up.
And he's really excited about another season at Alabama State and the possibility of winning a SWAC championship, and maybe he's on the list for the Walter Payton Award. Mm-hmm. Alabama State's never had a Walter Payton Award winner before, like to win. Coach, how competitive FCS coaches and players are.
Yes.
To bring that trophy home to
a
school for the first time ever is Heisman-esque.
I've told you guys before, some of my favorite years were coaching at Western Kentucky because those kids wanted to play.
I think this is a team in Montgomery this year. I think folks should pay attention. I'm not just saying that as an employee at WVAS,
but
like
great.
having paid attention over the last
I may have to come down there watching
weeks and months. Yeah, the ASU Stadium is right off 85. Really good, really really good looking stadium.
Yeah,
on
good
campus.
For them.
And they got a heck of a team. Coach, I was asking about Eddie Robinson Jr.
Yeah.
You're unfamiliar. You'd really like the guy. Straight shooter. Eddie Robinson Jr., Marshall Faulk, and Mickey Joseph, all New Orleans guys.
Yes.
Coaching in the SWAC. But you knew Eddie Robinson Sr. a little bit. So
I never really knew him, but just admired him, and what
Very
a
cool.
class individual. Gentleman.
And yeah,
won a lot of games.
I think this team's got a chance to make some noise there in Montgomery.
Well, good luck, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting year. I mean, we were talking about Auburn. I mean, look, Alabama. Some people like, all right, let's. Even though they made the playoffs last year, back-to-back four-loss seasons is not what Alabama fans are used to.
That's a huge contract he got, though,
yes,
right? Like
indeed.
That. I mean, it was one of the more surprising developments.
That was very strange.
And I wonder if they had advance word that someone was going to be kicking the tires on him.
There was sure a lot of rumbling that he could wind up somewhere else.
Sure. And it's like, it seems weird for a guy who, like you said, just made the playoff and just got a new contract to be under any real pressure at all, right? You'd think that guy has the ability to maybe even have a down year and absorb it and still move on. The guys who come to mind when you think about the hot seat in the conference, I mean, Beamer, right?
Absolutely.
Because
the expectations were so high a year ago.
And to decide to run it back after a year where it's like things didn't really go well. It's like you're not gonna be able to absorb things not going well again.
No, but speaking of running it back, I mean they bring back Lenore Sellers. Mm-hmm. So I mean he's back again for them. So I mean they're pretty much all in right now. Let's see what happens.
I like Jeff Lebby, right? Like I think he's a really smart coach and a fun guy to talk
to.
It's a tough job.
Yeah, but you go, I mean
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
You can't have another year like his first two and expect there to be a fourth.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how it pans out for him. They have a quarterback that folks are pretty high on.
Kamario is
a guy that folks
think ridiculous athlete.
Yeah, I mean a guy that could be, I think we saw it with Lenore Sellers a couple of years ago. Really high level quarterback play can be an equalizer where it's like maybe Mississippi State can win a couple of these games in the SEC.
But then you got a situation Florida thought the same thing with DJ Lagway.
Yeah, they did
for sure. For sure,
who Auburn will now see in the opener because he's the Baylor quarterback,
and we made this point in the Observer podcast about Lagway. Lagway reminds me a little bit of Jackson Arnold going into last year, where it's like there's a lot of potential from when he was a recruit, and it's a new system and a new coach, and maybe it'll work out, but mm-hmm. you really
Tough.
Like he's got to make a big leap forward. And he's got to do
quick.
It quick, and he's got to do it quickly
against a good defense on the road first game.
Like if all things were equal with Auburn, except you had Lagway instead of Byron Brown, I still think there'd be reasons to be excited about what this Auburn team could do.
I agree.
You'd much rather have the guy.
I think Auburn fans are probably more excited that they got Byron Brown.
Yes. No, I don't think there are that many quarterbacks in the league you'd trade straight up. Giving up Byron.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think he's somebody who's on.
Especially
pretty short
having
list.
Alex Golish and Joel Gordon as his head coach and offensive coordinator.
And your center.
Right, And receivers.
Yeah, that center is so important, guys. I talked about it all year. He's the
guy. Well, of course, Don was a center. He was a 180-pound center, as we heard
but
earlier.
I didn't do all those. I didn't make all those calls. We called the play. We knew. I never pointed out linebackers or safeties.
You know, to me, like the question of Byram making that jump to the SEC, Cole Best is making a really big jump too. Auburn has Cale Ellis, if he struggles, who a lot of folks are still really excited about as a college football player. But plan A is obviously
no doubt.
Plan A is obviously Cole Best and Byram Brown playing well.
Right.
Dan, man, really, really cool. Glad you were able to stop by. Yeah. And again, anytime.
Absolutely. WVAS 90.7 doing the afternoon news. Tune in. AuburnObserver.com. You can check out the podcast I do with Justin.
Don, good luck staying up all night tonight.
Thank you.
No, it's great. Look forward to having you back again. We'll talk about, what's gone on at Media Days by the time we're on next week.
For sure.
That's going to wrap things up for the Friday Drive. Don't forget, coverage of Media Days gets started at 11 o'clock on Monday with Doug and the Max Roundtable. And we'll sort of recap it on Monday for those four coaches and preview Auburn coming up on Tuesday. That's going to do it for today. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.